Hey there, this is Julie from Blended Life. Thank you for taking the time to download this episode of our podcast. I hope you find value in it. The truth is, though, sometimes you need more than a podcast can offer to get unstuck and find peace in your blended family life. The struggle is real. So this is a personal journey I've been on for years, seeking peace in circumstances and with people I can't control. Becoming Heard was born out of this quest. As a certified life and health coach, I am passionate about helping others just like you and me free themselves from chronic upset and chronic crisis mode. Right now, I'm offering Blended Life listeners a one-on-one free breakthrough session with me. This call will give you clarity to see if coaching is right for you. Take advantage of this opportunity now by emailing me at becomingheardnow@gmail.com. I can't wait to connect with you.
Hey everyone, I'm Eric. This is my wife, Julie. We are The Blended Life.
Hey you guys, and today we are answering some of your questions and asks for advice. Enjoy.
Welcome back. We'll just jump into this one.
Yeah, today we are taking questions and answering what's going on with your family. So this is one of my favorite weeks that we do in our podcasting series. So the first one's actually interesting. Someone wrote in and said, I don't know why nobody talks about blending animals.
Oh.
She's guess like,
we never really dealt with that, so...
Right, and she's like, this is something I've searched for and searched for and searched for, and nobody's talking about that. And so she wrote me a really long, beautiful, beautifully descripted accounting of how much it's so hard for her with his dogs and her dogs. And it's so interesting. So I right off the bat, what do you have, if anything, to say about blending animals?
Like, yeah, that would have been, that's a crazy thing to think of. You don't think of that. Like if you would have had cats, I would have been like, I'm out. That's not happening.
So you're saying if I had cats, yep. You would not have married me.
I wouldn't have even dated you. Listen to the crickets. Where's the crickets? There they are.
No, fair. And I think that animals are really important.
Yeah.
They're an important part of people's lives.
Right.
And
or they can ruin people's lives. Like, I'm so deathly allergic to cats. Not like deathly, literally, but like my parents had a cat that died, what, close to a year ago? And I'm still allergic to their house because of this cat. You know what I mean? And like my eyes swell up and water and my nose runs and I'm miserable.
Yeah.
But then you also think about it like, okay, well, maybe we didn't have cats. Maybe we're all dog people. But now, like, we have little dogs right now. But even if you brought a big dog in the house, our little dogs are going to dominate because they're just evil little critters. So,
yeah. Animals, well, to your point, even when you talk about the cat and how you're allergic still after, a year, I mean, animals really do affect quality of life.
Right.
And I think that, you know, when this woman wrote in, because she gave me a list of examples of how the way he is with his dogs is very different than the way she is with hers. And because of that, the dogs have different temperaments, different the way they feed, the way they kennel,
eating schedules, you can have different training, you know,
barking all night long versus not barking all night long. And I'm like, that's what came up for me. I'm like, wow, animals really do affect quality of life.
Or how about, like, I'm sure everyone's thinking it already, like, some dogs or animals are inside pets and some are outside pets. Some are not on furniture. Others are, like, sleep in bed with you. And, like, wow, there's a lot to really unpack there.
Yeah, and the thing that in my coaching practice, what we talk about a lot is the way you do one thing is the way you do all everything. Things. And so she also wrote in on another topic, which we're not going to get to today, but it's interesting because the way it is with his dogs, I would say, probably translates into some of the way he parents.
Yeah, with the kids.
Correct.
For sure.
So, and I don't think that they are married. But what I will say is, if you are blending your family and there are animals involved, it is a really great idea to, like, be observant and to really take into account how these animals are raised by their owner. It's very telling, you know, very telling of how the owner is going to treat, you know, it's like when you go on a date, you always want to see how your date treats the waitress or waiter, right? Because usually the way you do one thing is the way you do all things. And that comes out.
Interesting. I've known that saying and I've known that, but like dating younger, I never thought of it that way. And now that I look at it that way, I'm like, if I would have just looked at that one thing, it would have saved me years and years.
Yeah. How does the person you're choosing treat other people?
Yeah.
People who they're
what an epiphany.
In service.
What an absolute epiphany.
So, but the way, so let's just say like the other, well, wow, that was a lot of jumble.
This is our weekend. We are celebrating our 5-year anniversary, and we didn't even go anywhere.
Our
wedding
anniversary.
Yeah, like our mine and Julie's anniversary. And I'm exhausted from just hanging out for a day.
It hasn't even been 24 hours. It
hasn't.
And we need drool cups.
Yeah, but listen to us. Like we're, you know, and then we went on what, like a 4-mile walk this morning?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's all right. But what I was going to say is our neighbor had two dogs and then they got a third dog.
Right.
And she has had like a trainer come in and she's had people come in. So this is the first piece of advice that if you are blending animals and you really want this relationship to work, you might get outside help from a professional who knows about dogs and packs of dogs, because what she learned was bringing this third one in heightened tension because there's an order to a pack.
Yeah.
You know, and it's dogs discern that differently. And I'm not a dog professional. I don't really know what I'm talking about.
You tried to get us to go get a new dog this weekend.
Yeah, 3 is not great.
No, it's not at all. Just like children, you guys.
So, I mean, if it's something that you, so first be observant and see, can you live with this? Right. And understand that the way that these dogs are being raised and cared for probably will translate into a lot of other areas of your life. If you're still like, this is my person, I would bring in somebody who knows about the animals that you're trying to blend and get some resources. Right. We're not created to do life on our own. Go figure it out with professionals who can actually come into your home and bring these animals together and kind of assess the pecking order and the personalities and see what you can do. I'm not kidding because it's helpful.
Our neighbor did this and it was really helpful.
And the way it's playing out from what she wrote in was like, and this is a dangerous thing, and it can be dangerous. So basically it's like living separately together now. Yeah. So now the dogs are living separate lives.
Do they keep them in like different areas?
So this is interesting. Husband or fiance or significant other, I forget, takes his dogs to his mom's house. So dogs while he's at work.
Okay.
And then picks them up on the way home and brings them home. And her dog or dogs have to stay at the house all day. So their dogs are doing life separate.
Yeah, but this is almost like doggy daycare, you know, and elementary school. And like these are like little children, which we all know this. If you have pets, you guys know that this is having pets is like having infants that never grow up, you know. And there's some people that get theirs trained really well and it actually works out good. So that's a great thing. But if you're like us and just have dogs that just run the roost, it gets wild and it stays wild. It never really goes away.
But you see how this translates into children, because I would bet that the children are going to be raised the same. in that house very separately.
I don't know. Our dogs have way more order and obedience than our children.
No, but if they're raising their dogs separately mm-hmm. and treating their dogs differently in the home, like one gets table scraps and one is strict other diet, and they one goes away and gets to play all day in a yard and the other one is caged all day at home, you know, they're literally doing life differently with these dogs.
Right.
And that will translate into the kids. Now, that can work.
Right. It totally could.
It's just, it's a beast of an, it's a hill you're going to climb every day. It's hard.
Yeah, until you figure it out. So,
yeah. Wow,
this is wild. This is blowing
blending
my mind.
Blending animals. I feel like it's a great opportunity to learn about what your future looks like, though, right?
Yeah.
And you have to say, like, if nothing changes, and this is, I tell clients this all the time, if nothing changes, are you going to be okay? If you choose this person forever, I think they're engaged now that I am remembering this email. If nothing changes, and this is how you guys are going to choose to raise your dogs, never mind kids, together, are you going to be good? It could change, right, when people want to.
Right.
But that's the other thing. Unless your fiance wants things to change, they're not going to. Right. Much like unless you want things to change, they're not going to. And you could talk to your blue in the face and you can cry all the tears you want to cry and yell all the obscenities you want to yell. And you can threaten all you want to threaten. But at the end of the day, people only change when they want to.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Right.
Agreed.
So good luck blending animals. It isn't something that I've ever even consider discussing, but it's a great question because
it
you
is.
Learn
are we
a lot.
Are we kind of leaving it there? Like, this is, I don't know. It's...
Yeah, we're moving on to the next question. But I would love feedback. So if you guys are listening to this and you have blended animal stories, write in, comment below our video if you're watching on YouTube or wherever you can comment. This is a very interesting topic. Okay, next piece of advice.
Did you write that all in, like, extremely bold font so you could read it?
I just printed it.
That's wild. It's huge.
I know. Okay. So good for my old eyes. This person writes in and says, needing some advice. For the first time in 8 years, we are doing something with my husband's ex.
Uh-oh. Hopefully it's not blending the exes.
So we're doing something with my husband's ex,
okay,
her fiance, and her family.
Interesting. It's a big old family reunion.
Yeah. It is a season for graduation. We can talk a little bit about that afterwards. How do I go into this with an open mind and an open heart when I'm hurt from the way they treated me in the past?
Yeah.
Bio mom and her fiance found Jesus and want all of us to be one big happy family. I honestly don't know a lot about them, just what husband and my husband's family has said about her, and obviously not good things. Anyone struggle with this or been through this? I need some help.
Yep. We all have.
Pray tell.
Right, haven't we?
Yeah, I think one of the hardest thing, co-parenting, as a Christian family,
yeah,
when you're co-parenting with other Christian families, mm-hmm. I think it's a great opportunity to be like, where's God in your actions? Where's God in your behaviors? Like, that's where I tend to go, right?
What bugs me about Christian family doing this with Christian family.
And I don't know if she's Christian or not.
Okay, but still, people expect more because it's two Christian families. I'm like, if there's Christian anything, if you call yourself Christian anything, you should always expect more. I don't care if these other people are Satan devil worshipers, you know what I mean?
Well, like, she's saying these people are now
right,
into
which is
Jesus,
great. But
right?
But my point is, if you call yourself Christian anything, it shouldn't matter where the other people stand. So whether the other family is Christian or not, this shouldn't matter. Like, if you hold yourself to a standard, hold yourself to a standard regardless of what else. And I see where this is going because it's like, okay, well, they have found Jesus. And now
they want to be all.
Yeah. Okay, kumbaya. Great. But just because now we have a common interest and a common belief doesn't mean that we need to have common excitement for each other. You can still love them. You can still love them from a distance. Doesn't mean that you need to text each other or call each other. And do you see where I'm going with this? This doesn't mean that we need to be all super kumbaya with one another. We can be cordial, and that's what we should be called as Christians, who I am going to speak for myself and only myself on this, not even for you, is that I don't care if my ex is Christian, isn't Christian, goes to church, doesn't go to church, what she's doing. I call myself a Christian, so I treat them with respect to a certain point of if I feel like I'm not going to treat them with respect, or I feel like I don't want to be around them, or I don't want to deal with them because of where it's going, I will just lower the temperature and walk away. Now, just because I'm one way and they're one way doesn't mean that I treat them any different than I would anyone else. So my point to all of this is if you are okay with them, hopefully what this does is takes you guys from the negative and brings you back up to just an even playing field. Just because you might be a Christian and now they're Christian doesn't mean you guys need to go up into that plus positive, hanging out with each other, going to church with each other, celebrating, being one big family. Because at the end of the day, we aren't all one big family anymore, right? Like, truly.
There's a lot of different
thoughts
on that. That's your opinion, though, and that's okay. There's more than one way to do blended family life.
Of course,
life,
and there's so many ways, and that's, again, that's why I'm just speaking for myself. In my opinion, where I do and how I do with this, I'm not like, oh, cool, it's our kid's birthday party. Let's go plan something with the other family and have like some big family reunion thing together. I'm like, no, cool. You guys plan your thing. I'm going to respect that. We're going to plan our thing. I'm going to respect that. If we run into each other, if we happen to sit next to each other at the birthday party, or as you just said, it's graduation season. If we're by one another, I'm not going to sit there and glare at you and talk trash to you and cause problems. I'm going to be like, hey, how's it going? Make maybe some small chit chat, but that's the extent of our relationship. I'm just going to leave it there.
Yeah.
You're really
true to your word. What you're saying right now is it's not just bullshit. You live that out. And it's so hard.
Yeah, but
you're,
you know what?
You're so amazing, even keeled and respectful.
But it's about treating everyone the same. You know, you may have wronged me. You may have done some terrible, horrible things to me in the past. And that's the place that you are at then, you know. I'm not some perfect person who's lived some absolutely perfect life. And we're called to extend grace on people around us, but doesn't mean that we are called to be in full-blown relationship with these people. Love thy neighbor, but doesn't mean go make love to thy neighbor. You know what
Dear
I mean?
God, okay. Don't go make love to thy neighbor.
To thy neighbor.
Yeah, I think I'll speak for myself. So this is where it gets really hard for me, because I do too. Like most of the world, you hear the word Jesus and Christian, and you should hold people to the standard. Yep. that title, a Christian, right? A Christ
follower.
Now,
should you hold other people to that standard, or should you hold yourself to that standard?
Well, I see where you're going. Uh-huh. Thank you for yes, I know the
Thank
correct
you for putting
answer.
You between a rock and
no,
a hard
I know
place.
The correct answer as everyone right. else. But so the hardest part for me is, do unto others, right? That's a biblical principle. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love others, right? Like this is the basic fundamentals of Christianity. And so when you hear that somebody loves Jesus and this could be an open door. Also in our co-parenting relationship, all of our co-parents love Jesus and they're not perfect, right? And I think that's the point I'm trying to make here, and that I've learned, right? I'm certainly not perfect and I love Jesus, and I hold on to unforgiveness. I've shared that with you guys. I hold on to judgment sometimes.
Well, that's what I was just about
to
say.
I get offended.
Thou shall not cast a judgment. And that's where I think a lot of hypocrisy bleeds into Christianity.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and this is the thing about Christianity is this tons of grace, right? Like God gives us grace for all of our mishaps and things that we do on a daily basis. You know, if you're forgiven and you have been extended grace, how do you not pay that forward? So I think how you keep the question was like, how does she go into this with an open heart and open mind? I would say be hopeful, right? Because if their title is a Christian, Christ follower, and they love Jesus, I would say there's a tremendous amount of hope there. So be hopeful and understand that these people do not walk on water. So I think you just walk in hope. And whenever there is hope, you can have an open heart and open mind. You know, and whenever there is grace, the same thing. You know, just because they love Jesus does not mean they're going to be perfect. Does not mean the first time you're all together is going to go smoothly and swimmingly. You know, Christians are still humans and have feelings and have struggles and have temptations. And so what I think you do is just you go into this hoping for the best, guarding your heart, right? And not jump in the deep end with no floaty, right? And you're not going to stand on shore either. You're going to kind of like wade in waist deep, right? Like we're in the water. We're not up to our neck and we're not out of it. We're just kind of like, we're kind of feeling it out a little bit, getting the temperature. Right. And you go cautiously optimistic. That's how I would say that. And, you know, we are going through that as our family, you know, graduation. The end of the school year is really different, I feel, since before even COVID. This is the first year where things seem kind of normal again with school, like end of the year activities are full force. Kids are going on buses to grad nights again. There's all these celebrations and everything is kind of like coming back into to normalcy as much as it can. And we are having to be around people now again that we've been able to avoid
for the last few years.
Yeah. And, it is cautiously optimistic, right? It is cause, like, I don't want to be the cause of drama, you know? So I just stay in my lane. And if that looks like I take a back seat, even sometimes to my own son for his sake, that's what I do because of my moral value system and what I believe and what I'm choosing to live into. So I think it's just really what is the experience you want to have, and then you have to act accordingly. And I don't know, that's kind of my thoughts on that. Yeah. Anything else to add? Nope. Okay.
Nailed it.
Next one. This person says, parents, do you ask that your kids say, I love you, to your significant other when they initiate it? I've never asked my kids or my stepkids to say it. It's definitely what me and my bio kids do, but my stepkids are less comfortable saying it back, and that's okay with me. Dealing with an issue with my ex almost always requiring that our kids say I love you to his significant other. They do, but they say it feels fake, and they don't want to rock the boat, so they go along with it. I have no issue with it at all if they want to say it and mean it, and there's just, because there's not enough love in this world, but they shouldn't feel coerced, right?
Yeah, and it's going to become icky. It's going to become, if it feels fake right now, it is fake. If it feels fake, it is fake, and that's the thing. And from our point of view and our standpoint, you know, if we consistently tell someone that we love them or tell our stepkids that we love them, then that's consistency. And that'll get ingrained in them. And whether they say it back or not, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't love my stepkids because they love me. I love my stepkids because I love my stepkids. Whether they love me or not isn't dependent on a few simple words, you know, that have meaning. But if the meaning's not actually there and you're making them say this, then it's going to become an issue. It's going to become a point of detrimental topic later that is only going to become a burden to your relationship. So forcing a kid to do anything like that, forcing a kid to give you hugs, give step-parent hugs, give you kisses, whatever it is, you know, just becomes an icky thing eventually if it's not genuine. So in my opinion, again, just me, I can tell my stepkids I love them all day long. If they don't say it back to me, I'm not offended by it because I'm not forcing them to say this. Now, if I force these kids to say this to me, then that is basically just being a ruler over a land and them just becoming slaves and servants to these words. You know what I mean? To be a little extreme, but, you know, to forcing anyone to say anything, you know, if your spouse didn't genuinely love you, you basically force them into telling you that they loved you, and you force them into marrying you, and you force them to sleep with you, and you force them to do the dishes or go to work or bear children for you. At the end of the day, they just become slaves, right? And how happy do you think that relationship or marriage is going to be? So at the end of the day, this is a relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, for sure. And when you keep saying the word forced.
Yeah.
So what forcing anyone to do anything that they don't necessarily feel like they want to do or it's genuine builds some sort of resentment.
It totally will.
And resentment really is like those bitter roots that grow up and man, the thicker and wider and more growth the vine gets, it's harder to connect, right?
Yeah, disconnect, yeah, and break free.
Yeah. And so forcing, I think I wrote, this was a blended life support group question.
Okay.
And I wrote back to her and I just, you know, this isn't, if you've been listening to me for a long time, you know that I'm a stepchild since a year old. I never knew my parents together. I always grew up with the same set, actually, of parents. So, and I was forced to call my stepmom mom.
Yeah.
We had to. It was an expectation. And I, you know, and I think what I wrote back is like, when you're forced to fake something, you lose respect, right? And I always thought, like, who's the kind of person that's insecure and like is forcing me to call you something that you're just not? And that's just also my personality. And, well, like, I'm a very truthful,
and
like.
How was that for your relationship? Did that make you go like, yes, this is my mommy? Like,
no, but like you are my daughter. I am your mom.
Yeah.
In like all the ways.
Yeah,
and it was,
but I'm
just
saying over the testament of time, like, how did that work out? How did that play in favor for her, or did that become a detriment?
No,
to
what I saw her was, and you know, I have tremendous respect for her now that I am a stepmother myself. So before I say anything, in case she ever listens to this or her family listens to this, man, I will say about my stepmom, she really took care of me. She made sure I had fun. She clothed me. She fed me. We used to watch soap operas together. Like, it wasn't all bad. I don't want to paint her.
Yeah.
I don't want to paint her as somebody. She was very involved, right? She was the mother figure. She really took care of me as one of her own. And I will say, as a stepmom now, like, that must have been really hard. Like, also, like, I have such a tremendous amount
of
respect. Right, I just want to respect her.
But all of that being said, how did that play into your relationship? Did that hinder it a little bit? Did it hinder it a lot? Did it help your relationship? What did it do?
I don't think I'm out of line, or all stepkids understand their stepparents aren't their actual parents, right? Like,
right, yeah.
I don't think that. Growing up, I always thought it was stupid because I'm like, I have to call you mom, but you're not my mom. And I think that's pretty normal, right? Because it wasn't my choice to. I think that when kids make that decision and really want to call the other, I have a friend who her stepdaughters like want to call her mom. Mm-hmm. And at first she was like, oh, I don't think your mom would appreciate that.
Right.
And over time, she's kind of accepted that they just wouldn't let it go. They're like, we want to call you mom. And so now, but that's different.
Yeah, that was on their own. I mean,
on their own terms, that was their choice.
My oldest, who you guys know if you've listened to us for a long time, isn't my biological. I've just raised her since she was really little. Never, ever at any point forced her or told her to call me dad. You know, she made up her own little nickname for me when she was young.
Yeah.
And that was fine for a little while. And then after a few years, just started calling me dad. And it's always been that. And it was never forced. And even to this day, you know, it's still, she's almost 21, but it's still her option. She can call me whatever she wants, you know, and it's natural. But once you start forcing kids or anyone, mm-hmm. you know, go talk to your spouse and go, you know, like, I'm going to tell you, like, I need you to start calling me master. Right?
But also that's, you know,
it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's just, it's like,
yeah,
that's not my choice for you.
No, we would not be together also.
Whatever, peasant.
Yeah. So, and so we say, I know we're talking about titles and calling each other mom, but I think I love you is no different, right? Like forcing a kid to say, I love you would be, it to me, it's no different than forcing a child to call you something you're not.
Yep.
Forcing a child to make a declaration about you that they may not feel yet is something that is wrong. And on some level, I'm going to call it abusive, right? On some level, it's a mind fuck because now you're teaching your children to say, to like proclaim things to people that they don't really mean, maybe to get what they want. And this all feels very manipulative. So, I mean, as a parent or a step parent, if you're struggling with this, think outside just this relationship and what are you instilling in the children here? How they're going to go out in the real world and do relationships. You know, are you seeding manipulation? Are you seeding toxicity? Are you seeding that fake, like this fake, disingenuous, meaningless thing is what it's all about. And I think you have to really, so, you know, bio parents, we're going to do an upcoming episode on bio for bio parents. And this is something you really, I'm going to ask for you to think about, like fight for your children's well-being, right? You tell your kids, I tell my daughter when she struggles with the other home, like you're your own advocate kid, right? Like at some point you're going to have to stand up for yourself, right? And not just give in to everything that is presented to you. I don't care. You're going to have to start standing up for yourself. And so that would be my advice if this was me and I'm dealing with my child and they were being forced to say, I love you. I would suggest not, right? And I would say, and if your biological father had a problem with that, we could certainly have, I will talk to your father on your behalf, right?
Yeah.
So you stand up for yourself and then if, you know, direct your dad to me, I'm happy to take that on. Right, I'm happy because I am your parent. So I think forcing a kid to say I love you is manipulative.
Yeah.
The fruit is resentment and it seeds all kinds of weird stuff for them later in life. So I don't think it's okay, in my opinion. What do I know?
In your humble opinion.
Last one, and then we're going to wrap up this episode. Opinions on entire blended families supporting extracurricular activities. Background is we have 4 teens between us, 2 mine, 2 his. Between all of them, there are a lot of activities over the year, as you can imagine, and they go to different schools. Do you make your kids go to their step siblings' activities to watch/support them and vice versa? An example of this is that both of my kids do marching band at a state level and have several competitions over the fall. 4 of them this year will fall on our kid weekends and we will be out of town, about an hour away from our house. How does your family handle these types of things? Does everyone have to go? No complaints. Does only bio parent go? Does step parent go? And I leave teen kids home all day that don't want to go. The schedule gets very chaotic and we end up with limited time together as a couple because of kids' activities. For the most part, I want to be together, but I feel like the kids really don't enjoy it unless it's their thing.
Yeah, no one does. But the point of this and the way I think that we cross this is encouraging kids, encouraging the family to show up for the rest of the family. Doesn't always need to be a strict golden rule. And I think a lot of people get hung up on this. At least, you know, we have in our family, and I don't think that it needs to be like, you have to go to everything. Every kid has to go to everything. But I think it's important that the kids show up for the other kids in the family every so often, because even though the kids want it to be about them, you know, when it's not about them, they still need to know how to show up for others. So, you know, as parents, again, speaking just for myself, I do everything I can to make sure I show up for my kid, for my stepchildren. I don't care how big or how little the event is. It's important that we're there and that we show up for our children. And they're only going to be doing this probably once. They are only this age once. So showing up for them, encouraging them, is super, super important in building them up as children. For the children going for each other, again, just kind of, you know, I think it's important that our kids go and do stuff for one another, but I don't think it needs to be a golden rule. If there's something else going on, you know, little Sally, your biological child has a birthday party over at her best friend Rebecca's house for the weekend, but it's your stepson Johnny's birthday, baseball game. You know, I think that they can get out of stuff like that. You know, like, yeah, you have something else going on. That's all right. But trying to encourage them to show up for each other, maybe if not all the time, but at least some of the time.
Yeah. I have a question.
What's that?
You have two sisters.
I do.
I was raised an only child.
Yeah.
You were not.
Right.
Was that the expectation set in your home with your siblings that you all had to show up for everything? How did that look like?
No,
because you guys were not a blended family.
That's exactly like how this is right now. I'm like, my younger sisters, I obviously played hockey a lot growing up, sometimes every weekend. I was always at tournaments or skate competitions growing up. My sisters were at a lot of them, but they weren't at every single one of them. Sometimes my sisters would have something else going on and they wouldn't go. Sometimes my parents would have to divide and conquer between the three of us. And, you know, my dad and I would be out of town overnight one day, you know, for a hockey tournament. But most of the time, both of my parents would always be there. And that's what I would always remember. Now I can think back and I remember a few times my sisters weren't there. But my sisters would be there sometimes, but my parents were usually at all of my events. But I also remember going to my sister's events. It wasn't always all about me. I remember going to dance recitals growing up. I remember going to places that my sisters had going. But I also remember missing one or two. You know, I had something else going on. So if we have nothing going on, we're not just staying home doing nothing. But we're showing up and we're keeping busy and we are always supporting our family, and someone in our family was always supporting our family.
Yeah. Did you, I'm curious because again, yeah. I wasn't raised this way, so I don't know. Did it matter to you if your sisters were there or not? Like, did you care when you looked in the audience and they weren't there? Were you like, that's a bummer? Or did it not matter because your parents were there and that's what mattered? Or did you not care if your parents were there? I don't know. What did you think about that?
No, as a kid, you know, I probably would have told you, oh, it doesn't matter if my sisters come or not. But I remember as a kid, it probably did. It changed the dynamics. It changes and it builds the circumstances. You know, it builds up what you have going on. It does. You know, it's like having a birthday party and only one or two people showing up versus having a birthday party and everyone shows up for you. You feel loved. You feel special. And you might not be able to put your finger on that as a young kid, and I probably couldn't have. And I probably haven't thought about it until we're talking about it right now. But now thinking back in hindsight, I'm like, it makes you feel important. It does. It helps build up your self-esteem and your self-worth by having people show up and support you.
And it's kind of like we've talked about a long time ago, like the chore thing at home. You know, if you only have one set of kids doing chores and the other set not, or, you know, there's something that's very bonding and unifying when you're all in the trenches together.
Right.
You know, we all have to show up for each other. Then we're all the
kids,
in the trenches
all the
together.
Kids hate mom and dad at the same time.
Well, yeah, like the expectations set across the board, and there's something to be said that bonds and unifies. You know, and kids are just little brat holes. Like, let's be real. I know. I stole it. But let's be real. Like, kids don't want to do anything. I mean, my two biological grumble about going to each other's things, and they're siblings. Right. Never mind, you know. So this is interesting because I wrote back. This was another Blended Life support group question. So if you guys are interested in having support and having a community, you can go to Facebook, look up Blended Life support group. You do have to answer a couple questions, but it's so fun because I have clients that I coach, and I see them in there responding to different people. It's neat. It's a great community. So you can go join. You do have to answer questions. If you don't answer the two questions, you will automatically get denied, no exceptions. So what I think I wrote back to this is I was thinking back to our early blending days, because we've been at it for about 10 years. In the beginning, I think we were very idealistic about this, because I do know that this is something that was important to you.
Yeah, it's important to everyone. You want everything to be all.
And this was not important to me.
Right.
We were different.
Yeah.
I don't care. Right.
Yeah, like, because didn't know any better.
Correct. Right. Like, this wasn't. I didn't see value in it necessarily. I mean, hypothetically, okay, but I didn't experience it. So for me, I'm like, whatever. But this was important to you. So in the beginning, I feel like we were very idealistic about trying as best as we could with custody schedules, getting everyone to everything. And that was hard, because I have zero patience for, I'm not a tolerant person for acting out and throwing, you know what I mean? Like, just, it was so much work, and it was so much, like, we weren't even enjoying where we were at with everyone, you know, like, it was so distracting if people were, you know, whatever it was just really hard. And so I was like, this is stupid. And I know as time has gone on, because it was ruining, you know, there was a point in time where all of us doing anything together was just like we stopped going on vacations. I'd rather be at work, right? Like, that's not a secret. But I think in the beginning it was very idealistic, and we've gotten much more relaxed about it, where we're not forcing kids.
We just gave up on life.
We didn't, but it was also like, we don't so much anymore force. We pick our battles. Let me say, that's what I'll say. Like, graduation might be something that, like, graduation dinner. Right. I do expect everyone to show up for graduation dinner, and like, everyone's going to celebrate this accomplishment. You can invite a girlfriend or a friend if you want to come, but I do expect you.
I don't know if you'd like my girlfriend.
But you know what I mean? Like, I think the farther we get into blending our family in this topic, I think we've gotten really good at picking and choosing. You know, but I think that you have to have some kind of standard, and some kind of standard in the beginning, and seeing how it works. And I think that that is how we did it. Doesn't make it right or wrong or good or bad. It's just, I think looking backwards, it was very idealistic, and we were doing it all, and it wasn't fun. Till now, it's kind of like more easygoing, more fluid, picking and choosing our battles. And it seems to be better when we are all together, because we're not forcing people to go to everything and be so involved and up each other's butts, that now the kids are, and maybe that's maturity, maybe that's age and stage in life too, but it seems to me now it's just a little bit easier. Like, it's more enjoyable when everyone comes to do anything together. I don't know, thoughts on that? Or
yeah, it seems to be a little bit easier.
Yeah.
The easy part is no one does it anymore. So kind of, you know, you get to the point where it's just like, everyone's just kind of doing their own things. But I think at the end of the day, whether you are forcing your kids to go or not, it's important as parents and as step-parents to show up for your children and your stepchildren.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you are really the only ones that are really fighting for these kids, that are really pouring into these kids, you know, whether their stepkids are, or their stepbrother and sisters, or their actual siblings are, is another point. And again, there's no right or wrong way for you guys to do this with your family. This is just something that we have observed, something that I have observed growing up and with our own children. But yeah, it always
You've done, I just want to like sing your praises for a moment, because I will say, and you're much better than me at this, and it challenges me a lot. You have showed up to, if you're physically able, you're there for your child, for my children, like for, it doesn't matter. Like, you're pretty consistent and you're always there. And it's just something that is, because who wants to go sit through a 5-hour graduation? Nobody.
Yeah. Well,
so
you know what?
I'm grateful for that.
Well, thank you. It's important to me. It's important that the kids know that I am here for them and that we are a support group. And it builds confidence, you know, yeah. And I've seen that over the years. It totally builds confidence, you know, which is why, even though I'll just put it out as an example, you know, my son being 16 years old, can drive, can go anywhere he wants. You know, his thing he does right now is ride the dirt bikes. He can go at any point in time and just go ride. And I can sit there and I can hang out, or I could just not go. But the important part is that I'm showing up for them. I'm there for him. I'm part of his support team and his support group. And it just allows him to build, you know, just a positive lifestyle, just knowing that people are there for you. So,
yeah. Yeah, that's super, super good. The last thing I want to touch on that she had mentioned, just because I know it's a common struggle, is like, when you have all these kids and all these kids are in different places doing different things, it is hard to have time together as a couple, because you have so many events that are divide and conquer. I think that was your term.
Yeah, but if you aren't the coach, if you're not the only one that can take your kid to do this stuff, you know, and you do have to divide and conquer, sometimes take your stepkids. Sometimes take the other role. Don't always be the one that just takes your kids to ride dirt bikes. You know, if I'm the one that has to, you know, show up and take my stepdaughter to go do something
like see the Mario movie.
Like see the Mario movie. That's what we got to do. You know what I mean?
Such
like,
a sacrifice.
Yeah. We went and saw the Mario movie last week, me and my stepdaughter, because her mom and brother cheated on us and went and saw it without us. And made us really sad, so we went and saw it on our own. But yeah, anyways, you guys, well, thanks for being here with us. If you struggle a little bit in this blended family thing, give Julie a call or send her an email, becomingheardnow@gmail.com, or just go to her website, becomingheard@gmail.com, and she can help you.
My website's just becomingheard.com.
What'd I say?
@gmail.com.
Oh, sorry.
Becomingheard.com is my website. You can go book a free breakthrough session where we can just discuss and get clarity around what you want for yourself, why you're not having it now, talk about power, talk about the difference between coaching and therapy. We go through a lot of things, so I would love the opportunity to connect
and
kind
of
lead you.
Help you take control of your life, of your step-parenting, step-family, blended family lifehood. So thank you guys for being here with us.
Yeah, till next time. Thanks.
All right. We'll talk to you guys next time. Bye.
Bye. Hey, it's Julie again. I hope this episode of Blended Life started a conversation that you will finish in your home. But I get it, right? Sometimes you need more. My offer still stands. If I can interest you in a free one-on-one breakthrough session with me to see if coaching is right for you, contact me now at becomingheardnow@gmail.com and let's get you unstuck. becomingheardnow@gmail.com. I look forward to it.